I love that song, don't you? Saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Are you saved today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Brother Mike. He just makes it sound so easy the way he plays, doesn't he? I mean, he just sounds like it's so effortless, you know, all those wonderful notes and never hits the wrong one. It just sounds beautiful. Thank you, Mike. Great job. We appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, as we pick back up this preaching ministry series on the Ten Commandments. We've been in this series up right up to the Christmas holiday, and being the traditionalist I am, I had to take a little detour for the holidays and preach some Christmas sermons and reminder of the birth of Christ. We're going to go back and finish this series up today and then next Sunday on the Ten Commandments. And this is the 20th chapter of Exodus in verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie. That's really what it's saying there, isn't it? Bearing false witness and lying. Well, the first commandment, just kind of looking back, the first commandment told us to worship God and none other. And then the second commandment told us to worship Him directly without any idols or images. The third commandment told us to worship the Lord sincerely, to never take His name in vain or to use His name irreverently. And then the fourth commandment reminds us that we set aside a special day and time to worship the Lord. So if we keep the first four commandments, if we keep those first four, which are all directed toward God, if we keep them truly and sincerely and earnestly, then it will not be difficult to keep the last six commandments, which are directed toward our fellow man, because the love of God and His truth will be in us. This truth holds forever. If we are in our right relationship with God, then it'll be no great task to have our hearts be full of love and be in our right obligations and relationships to one another. So today we examine this ninth commandment concerning bearing false witness, concerning lying. You think about it. God made all the creatures of the world, including man. And He made man, the Bible says, He made man in His own image. And He gave man one unique and special gift that no other creature has. No other animal that He made has this gift that distinguishes you and me from the animals, and that's the power and the gift of speech. And speech can be such a powerful thing. Speech can be used to gladden the heart. For example, when we hear our sweetheart tell us that they love us, or when we hear the judge say, not guilty, or we hear the doctor say, I've made a thorough examination and there's no malignancy in your body. Or you hear the boss say, you just got a raise. Or when your mother-in-law says, well, I think I've stayed long enough, I'm going home now. Any of those things can give rise to joy in our hearts when we hear them. And then sometimes there's speech or words that we hear that'll sadden the heart. Like when the doctor says to us, I'm sorry, but it is cancer. Or the phone call comes in and it says, your loved one has just died. Or the boss says, you're fired. Or the broker that manages your funds says, you've just lost most of your investment. Or someone calls and says, your son or your daughter's in trouble. But the greatest use of our lips, our speech and our words, the greatest use of that gift is when we tell somebody else about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We tell them that Jesus died to give you and me eternal life. And the worst use of this gift of speech is when we tell a lie. Because, see, God is the God of truth. And if we're made in His image, which the Word says we are, then our lives should reflect the truth of God. A lie in any form is completely and strictly ungodly. It always is. Truth, you think about truth, truth is the foundation of the church. It's the foundation of the home. Truth must be the foundation of the social order in government. And when it is not, there is chaos in disorder. And we know that to be true because we're seeing that happen right before our eyes in our own nation. A lie disintegrates and it destroys whatever foundation is there. And the devil uses the lie as his chief weapon, doesn't he? The devil loves to use that cheap weapon of lying to fight God and to fight against you and me and to try to destroy us. And yet lying is one of the most common sins of our age. Even Christians and believers are guilty of lying just as non-believers are. Men sin when they lie. And the truth is that when they lie, they sin, don't they? Men sin when they lie, and when they lie, they sin. Some people look at horror upon the outward sins of the flesh, and yet they're not at all careful regarding their own speech. And they will often lie, and they'll bear false witness. Bearing false witness, by the way, God puts that down as a lie when we do that. Our scripture text tells us very clearly that we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Now, our neighbor isn't just the folks that live on either side of us where we live in our home. Our neighbors, really, when you think about it, they're the people of the world. And we sin if we bear false witness or lie regarding anyone. It takes me to the first point of the sermon. Number one is that the Bible's message about lying. The conflict of the ages is between Satan and Jesus. And this is illustrated, by the way, I believe, in the matter of lying. In John 8:44, we're told that Satan is a liar. It also says he's the father of all lies. And in John 14:6, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Now, Satan wants us to believe that the words of Jesus are a lie, that they don't really apply to us in the world today. So really, down through the ages, it's been Christ versus Satan. It's been the truth versus a lie. And let me ask you, where are you when it comes to this conflict? Whose side are you on today when it comes to the truth and the lie? I'll tell you, if you follow Jesus and you follow Him, then you're following the truth. If you're not believing the words of God and the words of Jesus, then you're believing Satan and you're believing the lies that come from him. And the words that we speak, I'm going to tell you, the words that we speak will tell the world where you stand, won't it? It'll tell the world whose side you're on. I can never forget this episode. It's been several years back. An episode of the show that many of you are familiar with called the Oprah Winfrey Show. On this particular episode of this show, somehow the subject came up about heaven and reaching heaven. And one of the people in her audience there that was able to speak up, they allowed different people to speak up, she quoted this verse in John 14:6 in which Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Many of you that saw that episode or seen reruns of it, Oprah immediately challenged what that woman, she said, "That can't be true. There's no way that could be true. You can't tell me that people in some parts of the world that have never heard the name of Jesus or the gospel preached aren't going to heaven." Of course they're going to heaven. People that believe in whatever their God may be, if they're good and faithful and they trust in what they think their God is, of course they're all going to heaven. Somebody else spoke up in the audience and says, "Well, that can't be true because Jesus died for our sins." And Oprah immediately just dismissed those words, just as she dismissed the words of Christ that said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The Bible tells us in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart of Oprah Winfrey, she spoke and we knew exactly what she believed. She does not believe the truth of Christ or the truth of the Word of God. Our words reveal our inward nature, don't they? Jesus, when you think about it, Jesus was perfectly right in His heart about everything. And so all the words that Jesus spoke were perfect and right, weren't they? People judge us by our words. People judge Peter by his words when he denied Christ. if our speech is pure, if our speech is true and clean, then the world will know that we have something of the nature of Christ in us, won't they? They'll see something in us that's different. Look at what the Bible says about the words that we speak. For example, in Psalm 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, that should be our prayer every day, shouldn't it? Oh, the words that I speak, the thoughts that I have, God, let them be acceptable to you. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Yeah, sometimes we need to keep the door of our lips shut, don't we? Nothing needs to be said at all. In Proverbs 10 and 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 1:20 and verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. The psalmist understood he needed some help. There's a natural inclination in human nature of lying lips and a deceitful tongue. In Proverbs 25 and 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That means the power of words can create such beauty in people's lives. Matthew 12 and 37, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Ephesians 4 and 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. All these different verses in the Word of God reminding us of the power of our words and the power of telling the truth. You think about it for a moment. All the sin and all the trouble in the world today begin with lying. God had told Adam and Eve that death would come upon them if they ate of the fruit of a certain tree in the garden. And the devil comes to Eve, and the devil says, oh, come on, you can eat of this tree. And she says, oh, no, God said if we eat of this tree, it'll result in death. And Satan says, you're not going to die. You can eat of the fruit of this tree. In fact, it'll make you just like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. Satan was lying to Eve. He was saying the very opposite of what God said. Can I tell you, he does the same thing today. He tells us the thing that is evil, is it's really good, it's okay. He tells us that thing that's good, he says, oh, don't worry about that. Well, you know the story, the Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of that tree, and because they did, sin entered into the world. Satan's lie brought on all of our troubles, didn't it? Satan's lie, and they're believing that lie and acting upon it. All wars, all sickness, all death, and all sorrow stem from the fact that the first folks on this earth believed the lie and sinned when they followed the lies of Satan. When you think about it, it was a bunch of lies that went about killing Jesus. Jesus lived on this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. But it was his slanderous enemies that got together. They hired false witnesses to come into the court and to say lies about Christ. And as a result, he was condemned and he was crucified because of those lies. No wonder God hates a liar. Lying brought about all the sin and trouble in the world. It brought about the death of his son, his only begotten son on the cross. So the Bible speaks out very clearly. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie. That takes us to the second point of the sermon today, and that's violations of this commandment. Well, number one, there's several. I'm going to start with number one. It's violated in the courts of justice. Our hearts are established for the execution, our courts are established, I should say, for the execution of justice. Justice is based on truth, or at least it should be. Any false witness that gets on the court defeats the very purpose and cause of justice. If a person lies on the witness stand, through that lie, he may actually rob another of his property or his time or even his life. So a false witness is a liar, and he may also, because of his lies, be a contributor to theft and even murder. Number two, it is violated by all direct lies. Now, the dictionary tells us that lying is any form of designed perception or designed deception. Let me say it again. The dictionary says lying is any form of designed deception. So if you try to make an impression that is contrary to the truth, you're lying, aren't you? You might not have said a lie, but you're trying to deceive someone by what you're doing. Some people might think it's okay to tell a white lie. The little white lie didn't hurt anybody. But I don't believe there's any such thing in God's sight. It's either the truth or it's not the truth, it's a lie. Some will say, well, you know, in our modern society, it's okay to exaggerate a little bit just to kind of get along and make things work out. God hated deception thousands of years ago, and he hates deception today. He's not changed. God's nature doesn't change. It's the same as it was the day that he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai and said, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not lie. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 12 and 22, and then again 19 and verse 5, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. He that speaks lies shall not escape. And then the third way we violate it is that it's violated by gossip and by slander. A scorpion carries his poison in his tail, and a snake carries his poison in his cheeks. And an individual, the slanderer, the gossiper, they carry their poison in their tongue, don't they? The poison begins in an evil heart, and it comes through and it comes out through the tongue. There are some who would never kill anybody with a gun or a knife, but they don't hesitate to destroy another person with their tongues. In God's sight, I believe one is just as severe as the other. In Jeremiah 18 and 18, the Word tells us, come, let us smite him with the tongue. Did you hear that? Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Many people are doing exactly that. Some smite over the telephone, or some may smite in little group meetings. And the worst is when members of a church gather together, and by their tongues, they try to destroy the servant, or they try to destroy the work of God in the church through saying things that are completely critical and destructive. The Bible warns against this in Chronicles 16 and 22, by the way. You've heard this before. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Any worker can tear down a building or a house. But it takes skill. It takes talent. It takes effort to build something that's worthwhile, that's good and beautiful. And anyone can tear down character. And it takes a real Christian and a real believer to build it up, and to build it up in ourselves and in others. The heart of the Christian faith is love, isn't it? That's what the Word tells us. That's what it should be. The heart of our faith is love. So before speaking ill of anyone, you should stop and think of them in terms of love. Imagine that the person you're talking about or about to talk about is standing right there with you. Can I tell you, it'll change what you're going to say? It will. You won't say those things you thought about saying. All I can say is, can you remember how you felt when somebody said something about you that was critical, that was false, that was misleading? Can you remember how deeply that hurt you? Then you know how easy it is for our own words to hurt somebody else. It's sad, really sad, that some folks get a certain satisfaction and they feel better about themselves when they're in this business of finding faults with others and talking about those faults that they see in other folks. It's almost as if they're elevating themselves and their own self-image, so to speak, at the expense of finding weaknesses and faults in other folks. That's a really sad way to live our lives. By the way, can you imagine Jesus? Can you imagine Jesus gossiping with James and John about the other disciples? Of course not. He never did that. And we should take him as our example, shouldn't we? Look at these next words on PowerPoint. I've got these up here because I think they matter. I want you to see this. There is so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Now, that's an old saying. It's been around forever. Look at it. There's so much bad in the best of us. I don't care how good you are. There's so much good in the worst of us, no matter how bad you are, that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Remember those words? Our church had a new pastor. And one day a gossiping woman said to an eager listener, she said, you know, the preacher's wife went into a meeting. And in the middle of that meeting, the preacher came in there and took her out of that room in anger. He took her out and made her leave. Well, the preacher eventually heard about this rumor getting around about what had happened. He decided to address it the next Sunday morning at church. And he did. He said, first of all, there's four things I want to say about this. First, he said, I never interfere with my wife's choices. Second, my wife never attended that meeting. Third, I did not force my wife to leave that meeting. And fourth, I don't even have a wife. It just shows you sometimes how things can get exaggerated. A certain man once said that if he had his way, that the slanderers would all be hung by their tongue, and all the willing listeners of that slander would be hung by their ears. There was an old woman in a church. There was an old woman in a church that gossiped about her pastor. But she was a really good person, a real Christian, and as a result, she felt so convicted about what she had done that she went to her pastor and told him and apologized and asked him to forgive her. And the pastor told her, he said, I forgive you, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to take this basket of feathers. I want you to go to different parts of our community, and I want you to throw out a handful of these feathers into the wind. Well, at this point, the woman felt so bad about her gossiping that she was ready to do anything her pastor suggested. So she said, okay, I'll do this. So when she had done it, she went back and reported to the pastor. She said, well, I've done it and my task has been completed. The pastor says, no, your task is not completed. You must now go back to every spot in which you threw those feathers into the wind, and I want you to gather them all up that you threw out. And the woman looked at her pastor and she said, well, that would be impossible. And then her pastor taught her that lesson, that when we gossip, that when we criticize, and when we slander, and when we spread those things, it can never be recalled. You can never bring them back. I'll tell you, doctors can cure a lot of diseases. Surgeons can cut out a lot of poison that spread into the bloodstream. But no one can heal the wounds caused by a slanderous tongue, but by the healing grace of God and our Savior Jesus. It takes His power to heal those deep wounds. Number four, look at it, the violations, examples of violations of this commandment, is violated by evil insinuations. You don't actually accuse someone of evil, you just insinuate it. You just suggest that it might be true. Can I tell you that even through insinuation, you do great harm to the truth and to the other person you're talking about. Number five is violated by false flattery. Now, I'm not talking about honest compliments, but false flattery is insincere praise. And insincere praise and false flattery really comes under the heading of just more lies. In fact, the Bible addresses this. It says that some people speak with flattering lips and a double heart. In other words, the heart doesn't say or doesn't have in it what the lips are saying. There's a disconnect. There's no sincerity. And Psalm 55 and verse 21 describes such a person. Listen to these words. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. That it was just the opposite of what was being said. We ought to compliment people, but when we do, we must be sincere about it. The fact is that people will often use flattery to further their own ends. And so they'll use insincere flattery for their own selfish needs. The Bible very clearly calls this insincerity lies, and it's violating that commandment. Number six, it's violated when people remain silent. You know, there's such a thing as talking too much. We understand that. And there is also such a thing of not speaking up when we should speak up. If someone is accused falsely and you, knowing the truth, you fail to speak up, then you become, in a sense, a false witness. A false witness against them because you've not spoken up to correct what has been said that is not true. When somebody's reputation is at stake, God help us to have the courage to speak up. Amen. Number seven, it's violated by fault finding and unjust criticism. I know Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. Now people take that too far. They take that too extreme. His words doesn't mean that we can't have discernment or understanding about the truth. We must judge between lies and deception and honesty and truth. We must judge between the wrong path versus the right path. What Jesus was talking about when he says, judge not that you should not, or you'll be judged, what Jesus was saying is, don't have a mean-spirited, critical, fault-finding attitude toward other people. That's what Jesus was urging us to do. So we look at this commandment, it's violated by being fault-finding, by unjust criticism. Many people will just spout thoughtlessly, without even thinking about it. They'll spout criticisms and faults about other folks, never really knowing the circumstances that that person is dealing with. Never really knowing what difficulties they may be going through. Somebody said that some people are like half-empty jugs. They make a lot of noise when pouring out. And that's true. A lot of folks do. A man was riding in a train. And it was one of those Pullman cars, you know, designed for people to sleep during the night. Well, the man couldn't sleep because he kept hearing a little baby that was just crying and crying and crying. And finally, he got tired of it and he hollered out. He says, why don't you take that baby to its mother so the rest of us can get some sleep? And the other man that was caring for the baby, he replied, he said, I wish I could, but my wife, the baby's mother, died yesterday. Her body is in the baggage car ahead of us. We're taking her back to her hometown for burial. Well, immediately the man that complained about the crying baby, he felt terrible. He was so sorry. He got out of his sleeping compartment. He went to this man's compartment and begin to help this man take care of this little baby so that heartbroken father could get some rest. Yes, if we understand the circumstances, what somebody else is going through, if we really understand the burdens that they're bearing, then I can tell you we wouldn't be near so critical of other folks. The trouble is that sometimes we just have this tendency to look for the worst in others instead of looking for the best in others. We know that's true sometimes, don't we? We've seen folks like that. Maybe we even ourselves have been guilty of that. I hope not too much. When a vulture flies over a field, now this is a vulture. When a vulture flies over a field, what does he see? He probably sees the dead animal that's near the brush. But that doesn't mean that that's all that's in this field. Because in this same field, there may be beautiful flowers and trees. There may be a bluebird and some butterflies. It may just be some beautiful things. But the vulture misses all of that because he's only looking for something rotten. Isn't that true? Yeah. And too many people are the same way. They never see all the other good things in another person because they're only looking for something rotten, something bad. And when they find it, they don't hesitate at all to tell others about it, to talk about it. Finally, number eight, it's violated. This commandment is violated by hypocrisy. Many folks will not lie with their lips, but the way they are living their life is a lie. Oh, they'll join the church, they'll get baptized, but their daily lives never give any evidence that they're different from the rest of the world. See, a person that's truly born again and filled with the Holy Spirit should walk in a way that is different from the world. We should walk and have a life that speaks volumes about who lives in us, and that's the Son of God, Jesus, is with us and in us. A person's life should give evidence of that love and the joy and the wonder and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus. Don't let your life, the life that you live, don't let it be a lie. Well, we've looked at, this morning, we looked at some of the ways that we violate this ninth commandment, in which folks bear false witness and they break this commandment. When they break this commandment, most of the time they're hurting others and they're bringing reproach upon the cause of Christ and they're soiling their own souls and losing Christian influence because of their violation of this commandment. A little boy was really angry at the little girl next door named Mary. It seems that Mary had saw him doing something that he wasn't supposed to do, and she tattled on him. Because she tattled on him, he really got in serious trouble with his mom and dad and got a spanking. Now, rather than taking responsibility for what he had done wrong, he blamed Mary for the whole thing. And he determined in his little heart he was going to get even with Mary. And one day, she left her little rag doll outside, and he knew she loved that rag doll. So when nobody was watching, he went over and he got that rag doll, he stole it, and he took it behind the shed in his backyard and buried that rag doll. Well, for days, people were asking the mother and even the little boy's mother, ask him, have you seen Mary's rag doll? She's lost it. She's just heartbroken, can't find it. And the little boy lied. He says, I haven't seen Mary's rag doll. And his mother asked him several times, and every time she asked him, Mom, I haven't seen that doll. I don't know anything about that doll. Well, the weeks went by. One day, the mother was in the backyard, and she noticed these new, fresh little green plants all growing up behind the shed. And she walked over and looked at it, and all these little plants were growing up, made the perfect outline of a little girl's doll. It seems that when Mary's mother had made that little rag doll, she had filled it with wheat. And when the boy buried the rag doll behind the shed, the wheat all took root and started growing up, and it was in the exact form of that little rag doll. And when that young boy was confronted by his mom and dad of the evidence in his backyard, he broke down crying and confessed that he had stolen a rag doll and he'd buried it. The Bible tells us in Numbers 32 and 23, be sure your sin will find you out. That's still true today, isn't it? The Bible tells us that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Now that does not mean, please hear me, that does not mean that every person that tells a lie is going to hell. Because if that was truth, this sanctuary would be empty today. Wouldn't be anybody in here. But I will say this, when we praise God for His grace and His forgiveness, amen. I will say this though, if you continue in the sin of lying, and if you lock Jesus out of your heart at the end of the way, you're going to find yourself sinking into hell to spend endless ages there in torment. The remedy for the sin of lying is the same remedy for all sin, isn't it? The remedy is Jesus in our hearts. Oh, the remedy is His salvation in our lives. And you can never overcome this sin or any sin by your own strength. Jesus alone can. can cleanse us. Jesus alone can forgive us and set us free from those sins and put within us a heart and a mind that wants to please God and that has the hope of everlasting life. I'm going to tell you, don't listen to the father of lies. Don't listen to the devil. He'll tell you, don't worry about that today. Just put that off. You've got plenty of time. Can I tell you, he's a liar. He's a liar. Don't believe him. Proverbs 27:1 gives us this eternal truth. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't put it off. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins. Invite Jesus into your heart. He'll transform your life. He'll set you free. He'll forgive you. And He'll put you on the pathway to eternal hope and light in light. And the joy of Christ will be in you. God, help us to walk in His truth. Amen. God, help us to be aware of these commandments He's given us. These 10 commandments that He gives us as a pathway and a light for our life to live our lives. What a shame it is that so many churches and so many Christians in the world say, well, those 10 commandments, those are just all about the law. We're living under grace. We don't need to hear that stuff. I'm telling you, we need to hear the commandments of God. They are given for our life and for our life and to strengthen us and to help us in our walk with the Lord. I thank God for His Word today. Amen. Father, we just thank You today. We praise You for the incredible Word of God, for its truth and its power in our lives. God, help us take it into our heart and our souls and to live by it. God, help us to walk faithfully and sincerely following You and obeying Your Word. Help us to reach up in faith and to ask forgiveness when we violate Your will and Your plan and Your Word for our lives and to trust in that flow of grace that flows into our lives of forgiveness and mercy. Father, help us to walk in truth. Help us to hate lies. Help us to hate slander. Help us to hate gossip of any kind. May Your love prevail in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. We thank You now. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with me today? I thank you.